So here we are in Jerusalem. We're in the old city, the center of Jerusalem. We're in the center of the world. We're the inner center. The center is not New York, not even Tokyo or London. The center is Jerusalem. But I think that one of the reasons why Jerusalem is the center, that there's another Jerusalem. This Jerusalem is not ultimately for this Jerusalem. This Jerusalem, or Jerusalem in English, is for the Jerusalem that shall come. This my body is not for this body. This is my dwelling place now, where I can glorify God. It's for that which is to come. And it doesn't yet appear. 1 John 3, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. We must read this. 1 Yohanan or John in chapter 3. Behold, look, hine, look carefully, gaze, don't take you away, don't take your look away from this. This is amazing. Hine, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. The Greek scholars, I read this in Aramaic, of course, but the Greek scholars are also correct when they say that what manner of love, that it's something foreign. Kenneth Weiss, is a great scholar. He translated what kind, foreign kind of a love God has loved us, that this love is something so unknown in this world. It's like this world does not know anything of this kind of love. The love that this world knows is, you're nice to me and I'll be nice to you. But you're not nice to me, I'll never say shalom to you. This is this world. But this love is from another place. And this is the love wherewith God has loved us. And this love makes us different. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And it's upon us and it's also in us. Sometimes the Greek translations say on us and the Aramaic says in us. This text I don't now translate word for word, that we should be called the sons of God. We should be called the children of God. Like if people ask us, who are you? What is your nationality? I can say, I'm a child of God. Where you come from? I come from His kingdom. I'm a child of God. Interesting. I don't expect that people would always understand that. That we should be called the sons of God. How many times do we think about it, that we are the children of God? God is our Father. All the fathers and mothers are representative parents. They're representative parents. God is our Father, and the Jerusalem, which is above, is our mother of all the true believers. Jerusalem, which is above, is our mother. And this Jerusalem Let no one say that this is not important. If this wasn't important, if this weren't important, there would be no fight about this. But this is important because this is the city of the great king. These people that walk here now on the street and sing with their flags, they know that this city is important. That's why they sing. And that's why Hamas doesn't like us to have this city. But this is not the end purpose. This city is for the city which is above, which will come down. This body is not the real me. This is good music. What are they singing? They're singing about this city. They're singing about this city. They know what they're singing. While we're speaking, people are walking by and they probably have flags and they rejoice. So, we know, we need to understand what is for what. When Yeshua says, I'm the way, where is He taking us? And where is He taking everything? This creation is not for this creation. This creation is for the new. This city is for the new Jerusalem. We don't know if there will be new Tokyo and new New York. We're not told anything. There will be new Jerusalem and all things will be made new. So now we are the sons of God. We should be called the sons of God. An Aramaic text actually says, whom He has also made us. We are called and He has made us the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Yes. We're now in this situation where we groan. Next I'm going to read that from Romans 8. But therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. It knew not Him. And then He says again, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Sons and daughters of God, children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear what we shall be. Our God has given us illustrations in the nature. You remember that this kind of a thing that crawls on the ground. And it looks like a worm. Like a maggot. It just crawls. But another day, it comes out and it's a butterfly and it will fly away. That's why we are really people of hope. Hope does not bring to shame. We're people of hope. But we know that when He shall appear, who? The Son of God, Messiah, Yeshua. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope, every man, every woman that has this hope in Him, purifies himself. He puts away the excess things that are, they can be sinful or they can be those extras that are a burden to us. He purifies himself even as he is pure. Everybody who has this hope in him. Now, this is really wonderful. This is really wonderful. We have such a hope. And then he talks about people afterwards in this chapter, people that are born from a wrong seed, and they don't have the new seed, and they live in sin. And then there are the sons of God who cannot live that lifestyle. Occasionally they may fall. It's written, righteous may fall 7 times and rise up again. And because the Lord holds him up. The Lord holds him up. So it's very important to understand that God sees us a certain way. And as God sees us, that is what we need to agree with. What we need to agree with. So there's this creation, and then there's the new creation. The creation that we see, it's failing, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 8 in a few minutes. But if we only concentrate on our efforts, on our powers to be godly, to do right, we're not going to succeed. There are two people that I could use for an example. One of them was called Ian Thomas. He was a major in British Army. He got to know the Lord maybe 14, 15, I believe 15 of age, whatever. And he worked very, very, very hard. He organized youth events, and from the beginning he did everything right, everything right, everything right. And at the age of 19, was it 19 or 21? I believe it was 19. He totally burned out. He lost his strength. It's not because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. It's not because his heart wasn't washed. It's not because he was lazy. None of these things. But because he didn't yet understand the power of the new creation and how to be joined to him who does the living in us. He would say it himself this way, that he was doing the living and he didn't know that he was doing the living. He said this way, I had everything that I had even after the new experience, but I did not realize. I did the planning, I did the working, I did the praying, I did it because I was sincere and I obeyed, but I did even my own obedience. I didn't draw it from him in rest like a branch draws it from the tree. I was obedient, but it was my obedience, not a joint action with the Lord. Now, I said this couple of last sentences with my own words, but that's what he was saying. I met this man. It was in New England. He was a guest speaker. And it was very interesting what he spoke. He was different than most speakers. He had amazing rest. And what he had was this hope. He had this hope. He was like a living example of this hope. Everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself. He was like a prisoner of this hope. He was an ordinary man, very ordinary. But you could see that hope in his life. Then there was another man. I was in 1 John 3, verse 3, this hope. Then there was another man whom I never met, but he's known all over the world. His name is Hudson Taylor. I have to bring these examples from the Christian world because rabbis don't have a record of this kind of experience. Rabbis have experiences, but the new creation experience is unique to new covenant people, you know. So Hudson Taylor was another man who really worked hard, who organized, did this, he did that. He had a similar experience. He came to exhaustion as well. And then he came to this same realization, totally independently, in China. And when he came to this rest, that I'm going to join the Lord, what He's doing. I'm not going to do my own works. I don't need to produce anything. I'm going to join Him, what He does. He will be the doer, but He will motivate me. He will lead me. He will guide me. There are countless examples like that. Another man came to my mind, Stanley Jones. Yes, he was from Baltimore, the city where my wife is from, a very dear city to me with such wonderful believers. Oh yes. But he came also to exhaustion, and he actually came almost to a mental breakdown point. He could not work anymore. He was in India, and he was working, and his mentality was just breaking down. And the same exchange happened to him. Now the people of old time, they used to call it exchanged life. This is true. Exchanged life is true. Isaiah the prophet knew about it. He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes, joy of whatever,
oil of joy.
Oil of joy, yes, for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you will exchange these things. Another place in Isaiah says, I'll give you silver for gold for this, and silver for this, and brass for stones. I forgot how that goes now. I should read it. But it's an exchange. I will give you an exchange. Exchange. Exchange for what? When there's an exchange, it's almost like changing garments. Yes, yes, yes. It's also a transit. Transit. I used to travel many, many times to Scandinavia through Budapest. And in Budapest, I liked the old airport. It was so nice. It was so nice. It was small and not many shops. You could sit there and relax. And then there was a transit from this airplane to the next plane. And the next plane might go to Helsinki. They had a transit point. We need a transit. If our direction is not this direction for the new cannot fail. New creation cannot fail. We could go through verse by verse how Apostle Paulus HaShaliach, or Shaul, the messenger, how he got the light of the new creation. Oh, yeah, that would be amazing study even to go through that. But the new cannot fail. This light cannot fail. The light of the new city cannot fail. You know what? Let me say it that way. If there was like a zipper in the sky, and we could zip that zipper up, and we could see the heavenly city, for a moment that Hebrews 12 talks about. We would see the light of that city. That would really change us. But you know what? We don't need it that way. Perhaps we don't need it that way. Because it's here in the scriptures. What is the Bible? The Bible is, okay, set of 66 books, but it's like a massive torch. It's like a light of the Messiah that lightens our hearts. Light comes to our heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my path, light unto my path. And what is it to our feet? Light unto our feet, light unto our path, lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. Yeah, this is it. It's the Torah, but it's the Nevi'im, it's the writings. Nevi'im means prophets, and it's a new covenant. So, we are the people, when we take the light of the word, the Messiah begins to enlighten us. I notice how, remember the passage in John 8, 32, and these passages where the Lord says, you shall know the truth if you keep following my word. You'll be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Truth. Truth. The light of the truth. But then it says, if the Son, S-O-N, Son, Ben, Bar, the Son, will set you free, you will be free indeed. You will be really free. Like free, free. Like double free. You will be really free. So the truth does set us free. Truth about something does set us free. Free from ignorance. Truth of the redemption sets us free from guilt. Guilt can be like, I've done wrong, or I feel I've done wrong. But it's not only that. We turned from our sins, we've given them to the Lord. But there can be another one kind of a feeling, which is another form of guilt. It's a feeling, I'm not enough. I don't know how to do this. I should succeed more. I should be like this. But I don't know how to get there. And then it's almost worse if I feel this way, that this is what the Bible says. And I know I have it in me. The Lord is in me. I have His Spirit. But I don't know how to make it worse. That kind of feeling is almost worse. This feeling. I'm not enough. Just like having like a brand new car. We were driving on the road and we saw beautiful Mercedes-Benz with a sunroof and a young man driving it with the sunroof. And wow, such a beautiful. But what if he had that car and he had no gas in the car? Many times we even may feel like, I don't have gas in my spiritual car. I don't know how to, I feel like not enough. I don't have what it takes. This could be also a terrible burden. And then when it says, well, the truth shall set you free, but the Son will set you free. That's a different level. It's another kind of freedom. I personally believe that freedom from the basic guilt of sins and all that, and the knowledge of the true grace of God, and even a victory to a point, that's involved in this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's like in the holy place of our experience. But then there's the most holy. That's where it's Him. Where I say, I don't know how to get there. I don't know. I'm not able. I cannot. But then I stop and the Lord does what needs to be done. It's almost like I don't even, if I know I can't, I don't even try. I turn it over to Him. There was a man in China called Watchman Nee. And his book is written in two translations. One translation is called The Life That Wins. And another publisher writes has the same book by the name The Overcoming Life. Either version, maybe The Overcoming Life has a little bit more sentences in it. But either way, that's what he is talking about. It's not I, but Him. But then there is that transfer. Many people could almost get upset if we hear these things. Yes, there's a faith rest, and yes, there's a rest to the people of God, and yes, we can know the victory. But unless there is that transfer to it, we could be almost like angry. Don't tell me that. I tell me the transfer. It's like salesman. You know, you watch in the internet, and they have some kind of a health product that if you feel exhausted and weak, and we have this kind of, we got this pill where we put all these elements together. But they kept talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. People are telling things about it and testimonies, and they make you wait half hour until they tell you how you can get it and what it actually is. You feel almost like angry. I'll wring your neck if you don't tell me. Well, that's what they're doing. They're making you hungry for how to get it. It's like there's a beautiful house. I'll give you the house, but I'll keep the key for the time being, you know. But God is like that. It's not like that. He will give us the transfer. But you know, until we get to that point that I have to be tired out of my own ways, of my own understanding. I could have all the commentaries of the five books of Moses, the Torah, the prophets, I could have all the commentaries of the apostles, or I could have them all. I could memorize them. I could read them. I could have all the knowledge in me and not find a way that I know this peace, that He's leading me, He's guiding me. Then there are people that thought that a very powerful experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit will do it. Oh yeah. Now, being filled with the Spirit is important. I'm of the understanding that different people experience it differently. Sometimes like a still, small voice, and then He comes in quietly and in a still way, and we experience it differently. And some people have like a storm. Pentecostals like it like a storm. But I tell you what, without saying any names, because I respect these people, there was one of these preachers that preached the full stadiums packed with people, hundreds of thousands even. Well, I don't know how much you fit. 100,000 maybe in one stadium. Really, like packed stadiums in different countries in South America. He was preaching and things happened. People came to the Lord. And the Lord kept anointing this man. And it's in the millions probably how many people came to know the Lord. And this same man lived in a personal defeat. Deep defeat at the same time. It's happened to many. Many. If you know what's going on in the news, in the mega ministries, the big ministries, now it's coming out. It's almost a rule rather than exception to the rule. Because the Holy Spirit can give us power to minister and we can still live in defeat. So even a very powerful experience is not with gifts of the Lord being manifested, is not a guarantee that we have really found the secret. I in you and you in me. It's no more I that lives, but you. It's no more you that live, but I live in you, my life. The Lord says to us. It's not by tricks. So while we are living in this world, we are ourselves also groaning, Lord, do I really want you? And our heart says, our new heart says, yes, I want him. This other stuff is interesting, but that's not it. This creation is not it. There has to be a new merging out of this one. Okay, so while we're in this creation, it says we groan. Let's read from Romans 8. Starting from verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We have the flesh with us. If anybody says that our flesh has died and we have no more flesh, they are mistaken. For if you live after the flesh, what is living after the flesh? Okay. After things that satisfy lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's careless living, like, I don't care what I watch. People that say, I don't care what I watch. If it's very carnal, I watch it. Or I don't care who I'm with. I don't care how I talk. Okay, I can use bad words. I don't care. That's living after the flesh or in the flesh. You shall die. We experience death. Flesh brings death. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, what spirit? What spirit? Or whose spirit? Okay, you know the Bible, you know the prophets. Ezekiel 38, a new heart, and I will give you the heart of flesh. A new spirit I will put within you. Not as the heart of stone, but I will give you the heart of flesh. The same is in Jeremiah 31:31. I'll give you such a heart that I can write my message in it, put my laws. So I give you such a heart that you want to actually hear me because you love me. I give you a heart that I can write my desires, my programs into it. It's not technically, it's not literal pen, but it's like the writing of the Spirit. So I'll write you what is my plan for your life. I'll write to you my desires. I give you a call in your life. I give you guidance in your life. Yes, that's the Spirit. That's the Spirit. And it's not me, but it is us together with him. So, If you through the Spirit kill the deeds of the body, that's the bad stuff. You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or even the mature children of God, sons and daughters of God. Led by the Spirit. That is something else. So there's no human oppressive system to will right over me. No. I don't need to be afraid like the people in Iran today, that if they demonstrate and say we want something else, even if they demonstrate in a non-violent way, let's say, which is possible, they have to be afraid. We're going to be killed when we are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit of our own Father, the Spirit of Yeshua, the Spirit of the Son, and there's no fear. His voice is not fearful. It's like in Sinai, under the Mount Sinai, when we received the law a few years ago, quite a few years ago, the people were afraid. This is too majestic. This is too majestic. It comes from the top of a mountain. I'm here under the mountain shaking. I'm afraid. It was the right voice. It was a good voice. Everything was correct. But this voice comes from so close. This is from inside of us. We hear His voice. We're led by Him. Led by Him is like, you know, horse trainer has the robe and he kindly leads the horse this way. He doesn't whip and beat. And good horse trainers, you'll never hear them shouting to their horse. No, they don't shout. They lead the horse in a peaceful way and help the horse to understand where they're going. We're led by the Spirit. This is not slavery. This is freedom. But why can't I be the leader? Why can't I say I did it my way? Because I don't know what's going on. I don't see the dangers. I don't see the spirit world. I don't see the bad angels that try to harm me and everybody else. I don't know the plans. I don't know the future. So here is the wonderful God who knows today, tomorrow, yesterday, who has overcome the devil, overcome the evil, who's paid for the sins of the world, who's done everything, and He knows everything, and He has only good plans and only good things in His mind. So why not let Him lead? And He's the one. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No, no fear. I never feared the voice of my father or voice of my mother. Well, I did a couple of things, some bad stuff, and when my father needed to discipline me, maybe I feared, but there's no fear here. By the way, I did some bad stuff, so I needed discipline. I want to be honest here. But you have not received the spirit of fear again, but spirit of bondage to fear. Spirit of bondage. Remember our time in Egypt. Now is the Torah portion which has came out of Egypt and now coming into the freedom of the wilderness. But we did not know yet these things that are here. But you have received the spirit of sonship. Adoption is placement of a son. Adoption, not adoption of a stranger, but adoption of a born son and daughter of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the key. Calling on His name. Calling on Him. No more relying on the self. Calling on Him. Calling on His name. The early believers used to be called people that call on the name of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:9 and thereabout, they called. Paul wrote to all in Corinth that call on the name of the Lord. Yes, they're followers of the way, and they're calling on the name of the Lord. They were not called Christians. That was what somebody put this name on them from outside. It was almost like a mockery name. And I'm not saying it's a bad name. I'm just saying is they were known as the followers of the way. This is a new way, away from the old into the new. It's even from old humanity, even to new humanity. Yes. Totally new. But then I'm going to jump a little bit, and then before I close, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. They are not worthy with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not just to us, but in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation shining out of the sons of God, children of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Yeah. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Literally, liberty of the glory of the children of God. So this glory is actually liberty, free. You shall know whom the Son sets you free. S-O-N, whom the Son sets free, He will be free indeed. This freedom is the glory of the children of God. That's a glory that's in the Holy of Holies. That's why we know He Himself is in the Holy of Holies, and His teachings and His doctrines can be learned in the holy place, but He's in the Holy of Holies. So it means go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. Okay, and then verse 23. Not only themselves, they, but we also, ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now we read enough verses. Let me conclude it this way. We are waiting for the perfection on the outside. The whole world is breaking up. Something big may happen in Iran. Today, tomorrow, the next day, or the day after may happen, or it may wait. I don't know. But whatever happens here, the same thing may happen also elsewhere. The whole world is breaking up. The whole order is breaking up. The whole earth is groaning. And when we are in this natural creation, which is a fallen creation, under corruption, we are fainting or failing, but we are tapping into something which is perfect. And we are intact with that perfection, perfect new creation, which is not going to experience any of that failing. And the worse it's getting outside, the better it's getting inside, because we are tapped like branches into that tree. The transfer is this: I know I can't, I'm not going to even try. You live your life in me. That's a personal conversation between us and Him. No one else can do it for us. It's like our own signature in a bank. It's like our own thumb in these devices that open up certain doors. We have a talk with Him. We say, Lord, You redeemed me. You paid for everything. I invite You to live Your life in me. I don't want to do it on my own anymore, even with the best intentions. It's got to be You. And I invite You to open up this door to me. I in You, You in me, joint living, totally dependent on You. Not just words, but really, I want to learn this. Amen. Amen.